let's pray together as we begin this time of worship and singing together. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, the scripture says, "I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's creator and king. I am the Lord who opened a way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea." Lord, thank you so much for making a way for the children of Israel through that sea. The children of Israel, again later, as Joshua led them across the Jordan River, as you stopped the waters there, you made a way for them. And thank you, Lord, for not only making a way for us, but for being the way. The way, the truth, and the life. Lord, we just pray today that you'll help us to follow in your way, and to take hold of you and your presence and your glory as we worship you today with our hearts, with our voices, with our minds, with our actions, the way we live throughout the week, the way we raise our children, and the way we live amongst the people that are in our circle of influence at work, at school, at church, in the community. Lord, help us to be the salt and the light of this world, Lord, as we represent you. We pray that you'll strengthen each one that has a part in the service today. May your name be exalted and glorified. May you build up your church here in First Baptist Gunnersville and throughout the world as people, followers of Jesus, meet in worship. Some have already met and some will continue as the day goes on. Lord, we love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand as we sing. Sing with me from the beginning, Waymaker. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. Sing that again. You are here, Lord, you're moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you. Yes, I worship you. You are here, Lord, you're turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, Lord, you're mending every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God.
stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working.
You are way
maker, miracle worker.
Thank the Lord for making a way, for being the way, the truth, and the life.
You may be seated. Wednesday night, Brian Harrell and Elliot Rowe, two of our leaders in our men's ministry, they got me after supper in the fellowship hall, and they said, would it be okay if Sunday morning on Mother's Day, the men's ministry gave a rose to every mom in the sanctuary, both worship services? And I said, no, we don't want to do that. I think we all know the answer to that question. Of course we would love to do that. So, before we have our welcome, we want to recognize our moms, and men's ministry wants to give you a rose in honor of you today. So all of our moms all over the sanctuary, stand up. All right, everybody, come on, ladies. Yeah. Remain standing. Now, men, come grab some roses and help pass out these roses to our moms all over the sanctuary. Remain standing, moms. Thank you. All right. And men, the extra ones that you have, just come bring them back and put them on the front row, because we still have the 10:30 worship to pass out too. So there you go. We still have the 10:30 worship mothers to honor as well. The best part about that whole thing was I was very concerned about the fact that I didn't know if our men would be able to follow those instructions. Grab a rose, take it to a woman that is standing. I was real concerned if that was going to work out or not. All right, so moms, we are glad that you are here today. We got a lot of extra moms here today too, because here in just a few moments, after we do our welcome, we're going to have baby dedication. So, ladies, moms, we are so glad that the Lord has led you to First Baptist Church to be a part of our time of worship. All right, so let's all stand and wander around the sanctuary for just a moment and welcome each other. Glad you're here. You may be seated.
All right. As y'all are getting seated, it is a great day today for many different reasons in everyone's life. But one thing in the life of our church today is we get to take part in baby dedication. And so in a minute, you'll see several families with some young children, some babies up here on the front stage. And, you know, as we think about this, we often think of those kids, right? And we think that, you know, the spotlight's kind of on them today, right? But as a children's minister, often I kind of move that spotlight a little bit, if you will. Not that we don't want to see the cute babies and all that, and we don't want to focus on them. But really, this is something that the child has no real say in, right? It doesn't affect them at all as far as them making this decision. It's the parents that are making this decision. So parents, as you're coming in a second, know that really this day is on you, because this is a decision you've made a long time ago. We know that. But today, this is you coming and saying, hey, I want to publicly just make known that I'm choosing to take a stand here. I'm choosing to raise my child in the Lord. And so we are here as a church today to celebrate with them in that, to support them in that, and hopefully just to, from this moment on, to just be there for them, whether that's through children's ministry, whether that's through relationships, and all those different things. And parents, as you're up here this morning, I hope you'll look, because we have several families taking part. And if nothing else, just be reminded, hey, you're not in this alone. You know, there are many parents that are going through, whether it's the first child, second child, the fourth child, whatever it may be. And it's a journey. And it at times can be a struggle. At times it can be a joy. But you're not in this alone. So know that your church is praying for you. And I'm sure that the families are as well. Families that have joined them today, we're especially glad that y'all chose to be here. You may or may not know this. I don't know how much the parents have told you, but we ask everybody to watch two videos before they come today. And one is about kind of thinking, who will that child become? As we're making this decision to raise them up in the Lord, what are some characteristics we want them to have and to exhibit and show? But the other one, the second one is, who do we want to have influence in our child's life? And our prayer at First Baptist is obviously that we get to take part in that. But know that if you're a family, if you're a friend, especially that doesn't come to church here regularly, they invited you hopefully for a specific reason and a purpose. And that's because they find you valuable in that child's life. They want you to have that influence. And so I encourage you to take that challenge on as we go today. So in a moment, parents, I'm going to call you up one by one. And we have a small gift we want to go ahead and give you. If you will, kind of just line the stage. And then Joel will come up and lead us in the dedication part of our service. But our first family taking part today is John Clay and Tori Dollar. And they are bringing George Walter Dollar with them. So if y'all will, go ahead and head up this way. We'll go ahead and give y'all that. All right, if you just right there is fine. And then our second family is Joseph and Kelly Bryant. Joseph and Kelly Bryant, and they're bringing Naomi Bryant today. And then we have James and Allison Proctor, and they are bringing Finley Rhodes Proctor and James Moody Proctor, also known as Ford. And then we have Wade and Hillary Edwards, and they're bringing Jackson Imbrell Edwards. And then our last family is Austin and Brittany Pankey, and they are bringing Lila Jean Pankey today. As they come, families, if you want to snap some pictures real quick before Joel gets up here, y'all feel free to do that. Or at a second, y'all just freeze at a second. We'll get some pictures in a minute. Go ahead, Joel.
Paul, you got them?
Partly.
Take a moment. I just don't ever see cameras out when I'm preaching. It bothers me. All right, sorry, Paul. One of the great things that Micah brought to us was this. Having all Mother's Day, and we still have several that are going to do baby dedication later. They couldn't do it today because they're with their families. And so we've got more than just the ones that are on the stage. And so more will be coming later. But one of the things that Micah did was bring this opportunity to us that on Mother's Day that we would have baby dedication with the babies that have been born during the year. And so that has been so exciting to see. 27 years ago today, Mother's Day, I preached my trial sermon to become the pastor of this church. So 27 years ago today, I officially became the pastor of this church. Never in my 27 years have I seen more young couples and more babies running around this church, which is a blessing beyond measure. And it is so exciting to see all of these young couples, all of these babies, a part of the church family here at First Baptist Church. All right, so families, we're going to ask you a few questions, and you'll just simply respond, we do, I do, I will. And then congregation, I'll ask you a question too. It's just like Micah said. So we're dedicating these babies to the Lord, but we're also dedicating ourselves to the Lord as moms and dads, as grandparents, aunts, uncles, brothers, sisters, as Sunday school teachers, in a few weeks, vacation Bible school workers, Wednesday nights, Sunday mornings. So we're all making the commitment as the body of Christ, as parents and as the church family. We're all making this commitment that we are going to do everything that we can. As moms and dads and Sunday school workers, we're going to do everything that we can to lead these children to trust Christ as their Savior and Lord. We want more for them than just to be successful in their life. We want them to know Christ as their Savior and Lord. So we're all dedicating ourselves to this task of leading our children to Jesus. So please stand, church family, in honor of this moment. Do you, the parents, present your son, your daughter, before God in solemn dedication? Do you consecrate yourselves as parents to bring up your child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Do you covenant together to strive to bring your child knowledge of the Scriptures, to teach him or her loving, obedient reverence for God and for His Son, Jesus Christ, and to use all the agencies of the church to accomplish this end? To the congregation, do you, the gathered congregation of this church, acknowledge that the Christian nurture of children is a mutual service of the home and the church? And do you promise to uphold these precious babies with your prayerful concern and insofar as you are able to provide an atmosphere in which he or she may grow to wholesome Christian maturity? Having heard these vows and sacred promises, I, as your pastor, do solemnly and joyfully commend these precious babies to the divine care and protection of God our Heavenly Father for all of the years of their lives. Join me as we pray. Father, what a joy. What a joy to be a part of a church that loves these children. And we're going to do everything that we can, Father, to show them the gospel. We're going to do everything that we can to show them the good news of what Jesus has done for them, the life that He offers them. And we're going to do all that we can, Father, to train them, to lead them, to show them Jesus and the good news that He gives. Bless us, strengthen us. Bless these parents. Bless these moms and these dads as they make this commitment together and they make this commitment for these children. In all things, Father, we thank You for the creation of these children that You've given to us. We recognize, Father, that You are the Creator of all that is. And without You, there's no babies on this stage. So we're thankful, Father, for the gift of life that You've given to these children. Thankful, Father, for our moms today, for what they do to help us, to lead us, to guide us, to direct us, to show us the good news of the gospel. In all things, Father, we give You praise and honor and glory today. In Jesus we pray. Amen. All right. You may go be seated. Ushers, if you'll come. Father, thank you for the joy of the day. Thank you, Father, for the gift of life that you have given to us in Jesus. We celebrate that gift today, Father. We recognize, Father, that you are indeed holy, righteous, and we're not. We're in need, desperate, and we need you. We call out to you today, Father. Not just to be moms and dads and leading children to Christ, but we need you in every aspect of life. There's not one little aspect of life that we don't need you. So we thank you, Father, for the gift of life in Jesus. Bless us as we worship you. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Joy.
Amen. Lord, thank you for Christ in us, the hope of glory. Thank you for Christ in us that gives us the strength to walk each day, to live in victory. Lord, though many things might come against us in this life, troubles and trials for sure, we know that you are our anchor, the anchor of our soul, sure and steadfast. Thank you, Lord, that we can have a relationship with you that is deep, that is meaningful, and that is eternal. We thank you that we have the Word of God to instruct us and to teach us, and I pray that today as Joel comes to bring the Word to us, that we would be truly strengthened in our faith and our lives. Help us to be an example for others, for young people, children to follow, and help us to encourage our friends and co-workers to follow you as well. Strengthen Joel now. Bless the preparation he's put in, and I pray that you'll be glorified in all that's accomplished through this day and through this service in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Ken. Thank you, parents, grandparents, being here today to celebrate. And praise team for leading us in worship. Today, our story is from the book of Esther. The book of Esther is right after Nehemiah and right before Job. Psalms and Proverbs, if you'll go to the wisdom literature of the Old Testament and go back a couple of books, you'll find Esther. And our story for today is in Esther chapter 4. We'll only be reading just a few verses, verses 13 through 17. So today is Mother's Day, as you well know. And Mother's Day is an American holiday. But for believers, it's more to us than just celebrating the birth of children. This is the person who gave me life. So it's more to us than that. For those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ, we recognize that the gift that God has given to us in our moms. So we celebrate that gift. We celebrate our moms and we celebrate the gift that God has given to us in our moms today. Now on Mother's Day, I don't just preach to moms on Mother's Day. And I don't preach to just dads on Father's Day. On Mother's Day, there's a lot more people in the sanctuary that need to hear a word from the Lord other than just moms. Father's Day, there's a lot more people in the sanctuary other than dads that need to hear a word from the Lord. And so we don't just preach just to moms, plus the fact that about 20 years ago, there were a few of our lovely ladies. All three of those lovely ladies are sitting in this sanctuary right now. And three of these lovely ladies threatened me to within an inch of my life on the Sunday before Mother's Day. Whatever you do, don't you dare next Sunday pull out Proverbs 31 and make us feel more guilty than we already feel about preaching about the perfect mother. And then we leave not being lifted up, but we leave just deflated because I'm not the perfect mother. And one of those mothers said, and by the way, I don't know what flax is anyway, so just move on. So, moms, but we still need a good word today for all of us. So here on Mother's Day, our character is Esther. Now, we're doing this series called The Cast of Characters from Max Lucado's book, Cast of Characters. And I promise you, moms, that I didn't some way back decide, all right, Mother's Day is going to be Esther. No, I promise. I know that we preachers exaggerate a lot, but I promise it fell on Esther on Mother's Day. Just like last Sunday when we celebrated with our graduating seniors, it literally fell on David and Goliath facing our giants. So it fell on Esther, I promise you. And Esther is this strong, courageous, dedicated, strong-willed, and apparently drop-dead gorgeous woman. She had it all. So how appropriate. So from this great woman, we're going to learn and just think about what it means to cry out to the king. So when we get done with this, that's what we're going to do. We're just going to cry out to the king, and we're going to trust him with all of the answers that he's going to give to us. We have old sayings here in the South, and more often than not, we don't know the origin of these sayings, but we know what they mean. Don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. Now, I know the origin of that one, but I also know what it means. You can't have your cake and eat it too. I have no clue the origin of that. I know what it means. I say it all the time. Janice hears me say that all the time. Well, you know, we can't have our cake and eat it too. Don't know where it came from, but say it all the time. Don't look a gift horse in the mouth. I know the origin of that one, but I also know what it means. But we also have this other one that are many other ones, but we also have one that says something like this. Man, she can make a silk purse out of a sow's ear. I have no clue where that came from. Now, I could have looked it up on the internet, but I didn't really want to because I don't really care. She can make a silk purse out of a sow's ear. I have no idea where that came from. But I know this. I know what it means. She can make something that is bad and turn it into something now that is good. And the book of Esther reveals how God made a silk purse out of a sow's ear. It's this incredible. Read the whole story when you get home sometime today. It is just this incredible story, this human drama that it's abuse, sexism, ambition, and on the list goes. It actually reads more like an afternoon soap opera, All My Children or The Guiding Light or one of those old soap operas than it does a biblical story. Let me introduce to you real quick the main characters. First, there's Mordecai. Esther's cousin helped raise her when Esther became an orphan at an early age. Mordecai was a palace employee in the administration of King Ahasuerus. Now, Ahasuerus' Greek name is Xerxes. Most of your modern translations will just actually have it as Xerxes. Mordecai was a Jewish slave carried into captivity when King Nebuchadnezzar destroyed Jerusalem in 586 BC. But he eventually, like another great Old Testament character that we've preached about in the last few weeks, he eventually became second in command in the entire kingdom. Next, we have Queen Vashti. Queen Vashti refused to dance naked with nothing on but her crown in front of her drunk husband, Xerxes, the king, and all of his drunk buddies. Good for Vashti. Good for her. She stood up. We all know that there are consequences with our actions, and so because of that standing up to her drunk husband and his drunk buddies, she was thrown out of the kingdom. So in we have now Esther, the hero of the book. She won one of history's first beauty contests and became Xerxes' next queen. She was Jewish and she didn't even know that she was Jewish. More about her in just a moment. Xerxes ruled the empire, but he couldn't rule himself. He was a drunk. And because he was a drunk, he made decisions that drunks make. Terrible. He was sexist, he was ruthless, and a whole lot more. Then there's Haman, the prime minister. Haman is one of the most despicable characters in Scripture. Haman persuaded Xerxes when he was drunk. You notice in the pattern there, here with Xerxes being a drunk? He persuaded Xerxes while he was drunk to issue a decree that on any given day, doesn't matter, doesn't have to be this day or that, just on any given day, once the decree is given, then we can slaughter as many Jews as we can get our hands on. He had one interest in mind, his own. So our story for today recalls this incredible moment of high drama in Jewish history. So how would Mordecai and how would Esther avoid Xerxes' drunken decree to slaughter all of the Jews? So Mordecai says to Esther in chapter 4, verses 13 and 14 of Esther. Mordecai sent this reply to Esther. Don't think for a moment that because you're in the palace that you will escape when all the other Jews are killed. If you keep quiet at this time, a time like this, deliverance and relief for the Jews will arise from some other place. That is to say, God will take care of his people. But you and your relatives will die. Who knows? if perhaps, Esther, you were made queen for such a time just like this. That is to say, Esther, this is your time to stand up. This is your time to say, I believe God, I trust God, and I will follow God's command in my life. This is my time to shine. She responds back. Then Esther sent this reply back to Mordecai. Go and gather together all the Jews of Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will do the same. And then, though it is against the law, I will go to see the king. And then she says, and by going and seeing the king, if I must die, if that will cost me my life, then I will die. So Mordecai went away and did everything that Esther had ordered him to do. The lesson is very, very simple today, church. God can make a silk purse out of a sow's ear. And if you don't believe that, then ask Abraham the liar, or ask Jacob the cheater, or ask Moses the coward, or David the murderer, the adulterer, Jonah the reluctant evangelist, ask Peter the fair-weathered friend, ask Paul the bigot. What do they all have in common? They were all sow's ears, and God turned them into silk purses. God took their imperfections and he demonstrated what he can do with next to nothing. Burke Parsons writes, it's not Esther's beauty or powerful connections that made her famous. It was her willingness to follow God's plan. And what was God's plan? How was he going to use these sinful, flawed people to turn the course of history? And isn't that the beauty of what God does? Isn't that the beauty of who God is? Even sinful, flawed people make good choices. Mom, there is no such thing. I was joking at the beginning. But there is no such thing as the perfect mom. Hollywood will give us on screen the perfect mother. And those actresses are absolutely perfect on screen. Dig a little behind the screen, and what you'll find is typically a mom that is a complete and utter wreck, a mess. Because in real life, mama, there is no such thing as perfection. But even sinful, flawed human beings that we are, we can make good choices, choices to trust the Lord and to honor him, choices that will lead to the direction in our life. Secondly, even sinful, flawed human beings, trusting in the Lord, can see great possibilities. John Bunyan had to go to prison before he realized his incredible gift of writing. And while he was in prison, he wrote one of the greatest works of literature in the history of the world called Pilgrim's Progress. If you've never read Pilgrim's Progress, I encourage you to do so. It's one of the greatest works in history. But he was in prison when he wrote that. Beethoven had envisioned a career as a concert pianist, but then he became deaf. And he turned to composing, writing out the music that he imagined in his mind as he walked in the woods in the loneliness of being deaf. Third, even sinful, flawed people can hold to their convictions to honor the Lord. Mordecai, who knows, perhaps if you were made queen for just such a time as this. And she responded, well, if I must die for doing what you're asking me to do and doing what I know the Lord has called me to do, if I must die, then that's the consequence that I'll face. If I must die, then I must die. She was convicted to do the right thing. Martin Luther was also convicted to the point of death. He said to the most powerful church structure in the history of the world, my conscience is held captive by the word of God. Here I stand. I can do no other. God, help me. Esther stood for the convictions that she had, and it saved God's people. So perhaps here on Mother's Day, you're like Esther. You might stand on the brink of a big decision. And perhaps today is the day for you to be serious and do serious business with the Lord. Like Esther, we're all sinful, flawed people in desperate need of the Lord's help. And like Esther, We all have the King's ear today. Every single one of us that know Christ as Savior and Lord today, we have the ear of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Creator of all that is. Because of Jesus, and only because of Jesus, because of the gospel, the good news of what God has done for us in Christ Jesus, sinful, flawed human beings like Esther, like me, like you, because of Christ, we have the King's ear. What do you want to tell Him today? What do you want to say to Him today? He's listening. Isn't that great? Isn't that beautiful? So what do you want to say to Him today? So before I pray, I'm going to give us all a moment. Just a moment. And in that moment, tell the Lord whatever you want to tell Him. Say to Him whatever you want to say. Ask Him whatever you want to ask. You've got His ear because of Jesus. Well, Lord, I cheated. I asked these believers to ask one thing. And here I am with a laundry list. To first say to you, I love you and I worship you. You and you alone. Everything I am, everything I have, is because of you. And I love you and I worship you for that. And then, Lord, I present needs to you as well that is just between me and you. And I'm thankful, Father, that I have the Creator of all that is. I have His ear because of Jesus. There are so many different needs in this sanctuary. I've already talked to several people this morning who they got some pretty big needs. And I'm confident that in that quiet moment, they brought those needs to you. But that's not just one or two of us, Father. That's all of us. Thank you, Father, for the gift of life in Jesus. All that you have given to us. And we celebrate that gift today. Help us to make good decisions to follow you. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Our invitation is trust and obey. If you've never trusted Christ today, then we encourage you today to do that. I'll be here at the front to receive you. If you need to make that decision public, we encourage you today to make that decision public. If you need to join our church family here at First Baptist, we encourage you to do that. If you need to come and pray, whatever the Lord leads you to do, as we stand and sing.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. we do is good. He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sigh or a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Please be seated for just a moment. What do we have first of all? I know we got to go to Sunday school real quick. All right, so Andy and Charlene Mason. Andy, 22 years ago, Andy became our IT guy. He does all the technology at our church. So Rort McDonald was the first chair of the committee called Office Automation. And Rort got us to call Andy to kind of do all of the Wi-Fi, all of the cameras, the security cameras, all of the computers. All of that stuff Andy does. And so I've known Andy and Charlene for a long time, but things changed about a year and a half ago. About a year and a half ago, our oldest son asked their oldest, youngest daughter to marry him. So we got to be really close with Andy and Charlene, as you can imagine, over the past year and a half. And then Andy sent me a text a couple of weeks ago. Are you at the church? And I said, I'm headed that way. He said, I'll see you in a few minutes. I thought he was coming to do something with a computer we did have a camera that was out. So Andy and I had been talking about that. I thought he was coming to do that. So I go get my Diet Coke. I come back to the office and Karen says, they're in your office. They're in my office. Who's they? And so I turn the corner and there sits Andy and Charlene. And I realized we're not going to talk about cameras. So Andy and Charlene and I had this great conversation about baptism. The fact that Andy and Charlene know Christ as their Savior and Lord. They're both believers, but neither one had ever followed Christ in baptism. And so we started talking about baptism. Well, this past Monday night, we filled up the baptistry, and I had the great honor and privilege of baptizing Andy Mason and Charlene Mason into Christ Jesus. And so that was such an honor and joy. So the next time that you see Andy and Charlene, make sure that you say a word of encouragement to them. All right, next. All right, Vacation Bible School. Now, you've noticed in your bulletin or around your bulletin, you have these little prayer guides and prayer sheets. So this is kind of something for us to do all the way through Vacation Bible School. It gives you something to pray for every day. On Sunday, you pray for this. On Monday, pray for this. On Tuesday, all the way down through Saturday. And then we do that all the way up, leading up to June the 4th through 7th, the week of Vacation Bible School. So grab one of those prayer guides, all right? Kids parent meeting for kids camp next Sunday evening, 4 o'clock, right before our outflow, all right? Gridiron Men's sign-up sheet on the Old Lord's Supper table. There's 15 slots. I don't know how many is available. The men are signing up, but that's June the 16th, 17th in Huntsville. All right, next. Our outflow, our annual outflow is next Sunday night, 5 o'clock in the fellowship hall. If you haven't given, make sure you give. We try to collect around $10,000 or $15,000 for outflow. How much money we collect, that's what we take out to the community. And so if you haven't yet given, please make sure that you give. We want to have a great night that night. As many people that are here, we're going to hit the streets, and we will go out for about an hour and do outflow in Gunnersville. So encourage you to give and to be a part of that as well. All right, Kim, what do you have? Warren? We're good? All right. This Wednesday night will be our last Wednesday night for the fall spring semester. It'll be the last Wednesday night that we have supper. And all of the full schedule. Next Sunday, we'll start talking about the summer schedule. But I do know that in 2 weeks from today, two weeks from today, we will, at the end of the worship service, we'll bring Joseph and Kelly up, because Joseph and Kelly are headed back to Southeast Asia, and we'll bring Joseph and Kelly up and have a time of prayer with them as they go back. And then the following Wednesday night, the 24th, Joseph and Kelly will be in the sanctuary that night at 6:30 and talking to us about what they're doing, where they're going, how we can help, what we can do, how we can pray, and all of those things. So we look forward to them being with us on that Wednesday night as we think about how we can help Joseph and Kelly. All right, let's all stand, and moms, dads, and grandparents, so glad you were with us today. Let's all stand and close by singing Shout to the Lord.
Shout to the Lord on the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy. Compares to the promise.